You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Well, how are we feeling this afternoon? We're all tuckered in the studio, ready to rock for 3 hours of nonstop takes.
I think we're in pretty good shape here. I think we're feeling pretty good.
I'm not.
No?
No, I'm not.
Why? What happened?
Literally, I haven't been feeling spectacular today. I was worried about you, but I'm okay. It's 4 o'clock. I feel fine.
Why were you worried about me?
Well, you got a big day in 48 hours.
Oh, so if you give the flu to him.
Right.
Oh, you got the flu?
No, I don't. I'm fine. I'm here. I'm just saying I wasn't feeling 100% during the day. And I started wondering if this goes south and then you start picking up like the sniffles or something, you're going to blame me at the wedding, probably.
It is cold. Like, both of my kids have the runny nose right now. Like, I don't know what's happened, but it's like every kid you see getting dropped off at school, they all have the trail. Like, it's
But that
it's
doesn't
gross.
Stop until they get to, like, high school.
I've said numerous times there's positive stress and there's negative stress and there's all kind of stresses in life.
Yeah.
I had some stuff going on the last couple days. Today, I bought a new truck.
Really?
Saturday, I'm getting married. Everything is coming together.
It's all working out for you.
What happened to the truck that you... I thought that was a new truck you've been driving.
Oh, yeah. Got to give that one to the wife.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Lease runs out.
Yeah.
That's a transaction, and that's an important transaction.
Well, you better get it detailed, the trunk.
Well, I would assume the two of you...
No, I was told... Get it detailed twice.
But she's aware of all the details that comes with the car, right? Like she obviously would not be caught off guard by anything that's going on with that car. Because it's you. She's buying it from you or whatever the transaction happens to work out.
There is no transaction. When you are getting a car and you're not paying for it, you have no right to complain about anything.
Well, good luck with that.
If you pop the trunk and the alumni code is laying there and clubs.
I would not give the truck away and like have it a mess. It's going to get detailed, but.
Well, twice. It's not like you're never going to see it again either. It's going to be in your driveway. You're going to see it. You're still going to drive it. So, you know, everything's on the up and up in terms of this little transaction we're talking about. Yeah. I got sewer today.
Hang on a sec. How does your cars work? Your wife's a dentist. Does she, like, do her own car stuff, or is that your material?
No, we have two cars.
Her car is her car.
Well, the one car was my car, and I bought it. We own it. So she drives that for the most part. And the other one, the truck, I drive most of the time, but sometimes we split it up.
That little...
No, the golf cart's still kicking around. I didn't tell you about this.
You have the golf cart still?
Well, because
But hang on a second. You got to back up. Is there anything that's hers and she just takes care of?
No. No, we're all in it together. It's a package deal.
Okay.
So.
Carry on.
Because the golf cart was like a first purchase of mine a long time ago.
Buddy, get rid of the golf cart.
I know. I've been fighting to get rid of it for a long time.
Kijiji. $4,000.
No, dude, just take it downtown, leave the keys in it, and then
No,
drive
it's still worth something. It's still in immaculate shape. It's in great shape.
You wouldn't get $800 for that.
Oh, I'll
thing,
bet you I get about $5,000 minimum.
Really? What year is that? It's like
good.
1992.
No, it's a 2011.
It? Oh, okay.
It's a 2011, dude. It's fine. It's in great
dude,
shape.
I'm sorry. That thing's a loser cruiser, and you're not getting more than $1,200 for that piece of crap.
I'm telling you, I think I can get $5,000. I priced this out. I'm working on a buyer.
Then put it on Kijiji. No, let's
I'm
put it up
I'm
right now.
Get rid of it.
Let's put it on the Overdrive website. What is that car worth?
There's not.
It's a glorified go-kart that can drive.
Yeah, it is.
But if we drove up in that vehicle to any bar in Toronto, we would not get let in.
Let me explain what happened to me. This was
the bar
my boiling
on that
point.
Car is negative 25.
My boiling point was at the golf tournament at the Summit. I drove the golf cart through there. We're rolling through, and I don't consider myself like a vain person. No, I'm not a celebrity or anything like that. But there's Porsches and BMWs, and they've got it all set up, right? Like, it's a great tournament. It's really well run. Ian Leggett.
There's a valet.
There's a golf bag drop-off, okay?
You can't go up to the drop-off
in
that thing.
I was so mad I didn't loop around and just go walk my own bag up. I get up there. The guy knows who I am.
Yeah.
Hazy B, I heard you were coming. Great to see you. Pop the trunk. I go, clubs don't fit in the trunk. They're in the back seat. Guy did like a double look. I got two car seats in the back.
Yeah.
Like the handle of the bag was stuck. This guy's trying to get the bag out. I'm doing the jiggle. I'm doing the jiggle.
Jiggle and shake.
The horn
the
goes jiggle and shake. And like people are looking.
25 people lined up behind me. Yeah. Half of TSN, half of Sportsnet. They're like, who is that loser? There's no way that guy's supposed to be driving through here.
Yeah.
And that was the end for me.
He's in the wrong place.
He's in the wrong place. He's supposed to be at Tam O'Shanter, and instead he's at the summit. So that was the end of it for me. I have not been back in that car.
So that was like,
it was a tough
I think with that rig, you park in Oak Ridges and you toot down the street and walk in.
I should have parked
There's no other way around that.
It was not a good look.
Is it in the garage now, just collecting
dust? No, it's just outside. Like, my wife, she hasn't driven it in a long time either because she's on mat leave. And
but what are you holding up on getting rid of that thing? Put it on Kijiji.
Because we don't need another car right now. Eventually, we will.
I know, but you have two trucks, don't you?
We got one. We got one truck in the go-kart. We only got two cooking rooms.
I thought you had the go-kart was a second car.
The golf cart is basically, we live in like a gated community down in Florida. You know those old codgers that drive around in their golf carts?
Yeah.
But they don't go anywhere. They're not out on the I-95.
Right.
That's basically what we do.
So you tool around in that just to the grocery store and back?
Maybe a pickup every once in a while, something like that.
Okay, well then that's, I thought you had a third vehicle and you were holding on to that for sentimental reasons.
No.
Christmas time, though, it's gone.
I have to get rid of it. I've had enough. It's been a good run.
Because I thought maybe
it's been a great run. We got two kids. You can't even get two kids.
We'll save
in
it
there
for your daughter when she turns 16. You put a bow on it and say that's what.
No, she doesn't want it.
She doesn't
want
that. She'd
turn it down at that
She would turn that down. It would be heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I raised a child who would spit at my golf cart. And that's probably what she would do.
Yeah, because it'd be so old by then.
Yeah, I'm not keeping it around for her. No. It'll be gone by the end of the year.
Yeah.
By the end of 2020, it'll be gone.
Get a nice Range Rover or like a nice.
No, it doesn't even matter what you get. You got to get something.
You make
safe
a lot of money.
Well, you've seen how, like, I mean, he witnessed Steph get into an accident in front of 100 people?
That was at the Joe Carter Celebrity Classic. Charlie Sheen was there. Remember when Charlie Sheen was really starting to fall off a cliff?
He was doing his tour. Wasn't he doing like the Charlie Sheen stand-up, like whatever? Just
Charlie Sheen was there. I went down there to try to get an interview with Sheen. He blew me off. Like, because I think he was like, are you with the woman that just got in the accident right outside? I'm not interviewing with
the
you.
The girl who drove into a cab who was parked.
The
cab was parked.
Cab was parked. And there she tried to do like a dance around.
What it is there's no depth perception. There was no like, you're going to try and fit a circle into this square.
Right.
And just, you know what? When you hear metal,
I saw it.
Speed up and push through it.
And I heard it.
Yeah.
It was metal just cracking together. Yeah. And I'm like, that's Steph. I know it's Steph. This is going to be such a big problem because we're there trying to get interviews and stuff.
I get the phone call with the tears. You know, there was an incident.
It was an embarrassing moment.
Yeah. So that's why, I mean, in realistic world, she should be driving a 77 Chevy Nova.
Well, I'll say a 2011.
Like, that's what she should be driving.
No.
You know, something like that. Like, you know, a 2003 El Camino.
There's a car out there that some people say, I'm not buying into that because I'm not doing that. I swore to myself since I was 21 I'm not doing it. A minivan makes a nice truck.
Well, it does.
There's something called a minivan town car, I think. They've got like a seat in the back with like a dinner tables around it. It is gorgeous. But there's a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
When they were in university, they said to themselves, I'm not doing that minivan.
And it's the automatic doors and stuff. Like, it's set up for the kids. So
well, it's
nicely
the vibe that you're sending out.
Yeah.
You've
given up.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're once you become minivan guy, there's no turning back. But everything I've heard is anybody that eventually takes that plunge, they immediately fall in love with it and they wonder what took so long. Yeah. They love the minivan. You're talking a big game. Do you have a minivan? You got three kids. Where's your minivan?
I would never drive a minivan.
Exactly. Exactly.
But you get close to it, you'd get a giant Suburban or something.
Look at you and that hog. You would look spectacular driving up the 400.
But those minivans are, like, they are
I'm serious. They are gorgeous, and they have space. They drive nice, and they're a nice car.
Every year we go down to Florida, and we rent a minivan, and I can't wait to get behind that thing.
But see, the thing is I feel like
I feel right at home.
I'm one of those guys, the minute that you head down that path, you're going to get involved in it. I don't remember, and I rent cars a lot. I feel like I turn down minivans. Like, I feel like I don't want that. Just give me an SUV.
There's a lot of ladies out there that when they get married and they never thought they'd be a minivan person, and when the guy brings it up saying, I'm getting a minivan, they go right to the corner pub and they get destroyed. They don't want it. They don't want the minivan.
You're saying women don't want the minivan?
No.
I don't know about that. Whatever is comfortable for you. Like
equal across the board.
Dude, if you got to get a minivan, you got to get a minivan. Who cares?
Well, you don't have to do anything.
You need space.
But a minivan helps.
If you have children, you need space to get them in and out of the vehicle.
Yeah, without, hockey bags and
then you need a trunk or for a stroller. Like, it's a pain in the ass. If
we got to find out if one guy in the NHL or Major League Pro Sports has a minivan.
I can tell you one guy who doesn't play anymore, but Jake the Snake Plumber has been on with me many times, and he is a massive advocate for the minivan.
Jake Plumber?
Jake Plumber. Jake the Snake Plumber. He lives in Denver, I believe. I think he's got three or four kids.
Yeah, Pooley had a minivan, I think, in Boston.
But he's got like three kids. Then Pooley's got three girls.
Pooley's got three. He's got twins and another one.
Yeah.
No,
so
he's got two.
Minivan. No, I think Pooley has three.
He's got three, 100%.
Yeah.
Minivan central for Pooley. But, I don't know where I was going with all this. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to name the establishment. It's not Tim Hortons because they wouldn't do this to me. I haven't been feeling great today, so I went through the drive-thru, which was my first mistake.
Right.
And I asked for a yogurt parfait.
Right.
And the guy goes, yeah, we got one left. It's a blueberry. I'm not a big blueberry guy, but I said, okay, I'll take it.
Eat around it, do whatever.
Yeah, I can get down with blueberry. It's not a top five fruit for me, but I can live with it.
Right.
I get back here, I log on to the computer, I'm doing my waiting for the grappa to come over with our little meeting. It's a vegan yogurt.
Oh, no.
For him not to tell me that.
That's your scissor.
I'm thinking legal action here.
Yeah.
That is so offside.
I think it is, too.
You've got to say it's a vegan. I'm not against the whole vegan thing, but I don't want a vegan yogurt parfait.
That's actually.
I want the real stuff.
You know, he slid that one in on you. He's like, there's only one left. Let's try to defend Tim's,
but that's where it was.
No, it wasn't at Tim's. It wasn't at Tim's. It was a spot around here. There's two spots we're talking about here. You can put two and two together.
Yes. Right beside you.
Anyway.
That one.
All right. So physicals went down today.
Yeah.
Down at the Ford Energy Center. Is that what it's called now?
It's not MasterCard anymore.
I have a more difficult time calling it the Ford Energy Center than I did calling the ACC Scotiabank.
Yeah.
Like, I was all in on that, but MasterCard Center... I'm going to have a difficult time remembering the new name, but Mitch Marner, not there. I mean, we all knew that was coming, that he wasn't going to be here.
Well,
but
I will say there was quite a lot of reaction to our first segment yesterday, you know, from Leaf Nation, Leaf Faithful, pretty much. And in reading through, I mean, we're all tagged on it on Twitter and Instagram and all that. You know, there were some spirited conversations between people, not to us, but to people that were fan bases fighting with each other and all that. But, you know, pretty much the overwhelming, I would say 90% were supporting.
Just think about this. What is the number, like 77 million or 88 million?
Yeah.
Translate that to Canadian, 88 million, 116 million. Imagine if you started skating tomorrow with your OHL team, like, somebody brought this up to me today, a hockey person we were talking. What if you blow out your knee?
Yeah.
Imagine not signing that.
Yeah, that's tough.
Like, imagine not signing that. And they talked about another person they knew that was in the hockey industry. Back in the day, there was an offer for a certain amount, and they said, no, I want one more million. Next day, blew their knee out. They get nothing.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if this guy... I don't know. And by the way, I got nothing against Mitch Marner. I think he's a fantastic player. I like watching him play. I like doing my job on the panel, breaking down his plays. But I'm sorry, this is nuts. That amount of money and you say no to, and I really don't care what people say, oh, you're just trying to be a Leaf fan. No, it's just reality. That amount of money, no. Get serious.
It has clearly become, you know, more personal.
Yeah.
We hear about the Type B bonuses, I believe, that he didn't get in his first contract.
Oh, really? $116 million? You got to worry about the Type B bonus?
But that's the point. The fact that it is that petty and it's that personal speaks to it. And I believe this whole captaincy stuff, where it came out today, they're naming a captain.
Yeah.
They're not naming it right now because of Marner. I agree with that
because they would have named Austin Matthews. I think it's Matthews.
Well, I don't know if it's Matthews, but I know they know who it is.
Why not do it right now?
Because of Mitch Marner. Because
they're not naming it because they think that if it's not Mitch Marner, which it's not going to be, it's either Austin Matthews or Morgan Riley, in my opinion, that Mitch could have a problem with that, too.
Okay, then he can go somewhere else and play hockey.
Well, listen, we're reading the tea leaves. That isn't on the table necessarily, but I had the same read.
That would be my, you know.
And I believe,
you guys really think that guys like Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas would say,
yeah,
we don't really want to name a captain because it might offend him more?
I think they know that he's been offended by stuff in the past.
If the negotiations are that sensitive right now, you need one more
really
thing
offended
to add to
by
it.
This?
I think if it was Morgan Riley, they would announce it because I don't think Mitch Marner cares about Morgan Riley.
If that's your way of thinking, you should not be in the business of NHL hockey. I can't name the captain because we don't want to offend the guy that's not taking $88 million.
Do you believe they actually don't know who it is?
They know,
like, they tried to pretend today, like, we don't want to rush it. Don't pretend like you don't know who you're naming. You know who you're naming. They're going to name a captain. They know who it is.
I'm just saying, if they're in the business of saying, oh, we don't want to offend him anymore, I don't think they operate like that.
They've tiptoed around him the whole process, by all accounts. They didn't put any ultimatums on the table. They did. They didn't put any ultimatums on
the table. Well, then I'm sorry. As much as I respect both of those guys, that's a joke. You don't operate like that.
I mean, this is my opinion.
I would name a captain right now saying, you're actually not a part of the fray. You might be an assistant in exhibition games, but that's our captain. Well, I don't buy what you're saying.
I
can't see people in that organization sitting in the meeting saying, can't name a captain because Mitch might be mad at that. Like,
it's can't name Matthews the captain.
Why?
Because this is all about Matthews. It always has been.
Right.
He got the bonuses. Marner didn't. It's clearly been a problem for them for 3 years. Matthews got 5 years, 11-6. Marner wants it, and they're not going to give it to him. He's obsessed with Matthews.
Well,
he is.
He wants
the Matthews.
So you
treatment.
Think they're holding back, saying, "Oh wow, if we do this, it might piss them off even more."
What's the other explanation? Unless they want
the
to do it the
other explanation
day
is what we talked about yesterday. Here's your offers. If you don't want, you're going to go play somewhere else.
But I think they want this to be a joyous event, not something that could potentially be tarnished.
Right.
So it's not just tied to Mitch Marner. I think they're saying, "Let's get Mitch Marner locked up. Let's have that core. Let's take a look at what this organization looks like financially in that. And then when we're all set, now, here. Oh, by the way, here's your captaincy, number 34. That's, to me, when you're in the heat of a battle with a negotiations with one of your top players, I don't think the timing is the right to all of a sudden have this, like, big event. Because it is a big event. The captaincy for the Toronto Maple Leafs is a big event. And why would they want anything hanging over even Austin Matthews' head, too? He deserves everything that's coming towards him. So I think they'll get the Mitch Marner thing sorted out, and then they'll go, oh, by the way, we're all together here. Austin Matthews, you're the captain. I think Morgan Riley would be just as good, but there's no loser in that situation because John Tavares could be a captain as well. There's some really good leaders in that room.
Yeah, there's great options.
Yeah.
They've made that very clear. But unless they're thinking that the eve of the season, we make this announcement, and you're right, it deserves to have its own spotlight. I think
right.
It would get it because I think people here are sick and tired of the Marner stuff. They would prefer something flashy that's considered positive. But they, by all accounts, have kind of tiptoed around this, and they've been very good to Marner. And I don't think they're going to change their attitude.
Yep.
Now that they're closing in on the finish line, or hopefully closing in on the finish line. Again, I think if it was Morgan Riley you were going to announce as captain, you could do that in July.
Mm-hmm.
You could do it in August. But if it's Matthews,
yeah,
it just feels like everything comes back to him.
But this is a business, too.
You name it. What is going to piss him off more? Oh, great. What are you going to want, $14 million
now? Let's be honest. It's not him we're that worried about pissing off.
Yeah, it's his dad.
Well, it's either it's the whole crew.
And, again, you missed physicals today. Not a big deal. Tomorrow, on ice, You can miss them on ice and stuff, but I, you know, you've got to try and push this needle along and figure out what your is. Because ultimately, if this is what you're fighting for, whether it's term or if it's just the matching deal to Austin Matthews, by all accounts, you've got $11 million on the table per year on a 7 or 8 year deal, and Austin Matthews makes $11,634. So you're arguing over $634,000 times 7 or 8 years. So that's $5 million, roughly, give or take. But like you said, at 116 or 120 million with the exchange rate and that, you're never going to notice that amount of money when you're never that rich.
Never.
So it is more about principle, because it sounds like there's principle involved where, hey, oh, by the way, whatever we settle on, add another 1.6 on the bonuses that I should have gotten 3 years. So I think there's some sticking points.
Yeah.
I get it.
That's what it feels like.
But, I get it, but I want to see how this all shakes out.
I would trade the player and the dad just to not deal with it anymore. End of story.
Well, they should have made that decision in June.
Okay.
And they didn't.
I think there's
what I would have done. I would have said, you know what?
I would have at some point placed an ultimatum on the line.
That's right.
They decided not to do that.
I think personally there's been...
I just love the idea of they're like a whipping boy and he's been mistreated and it's life is no good for him. He got drafted, what is it, fifth overall by the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Fourth? Yeah. Well, I think
offered a great lifetime, like a great career, great money. And it's like all this garbage. Get rid of the kid. Get rid of the dad. I'm not dealing with this crap anymore.
I think,
just,
you know what?
Me.
I think there's been mistakes. If you want to call them that, because you can't play the blame game right now. But I think there may be mistakes on both sides. Because you just said a word, ultimatum. If those deals were on the table in June or whenever they were, there should have been an expiration date. Saying, we have to take a course of action if this isn't signed or this isn't signed, this isn't signed. The longer it gets kicked down the road, like you said yesterday, you know that's what you got in your back pocket. That's the worst you're going to do October 1st.
Well, and furthermore, now this I think was a smart maneuver, but they went out there and picked up David Clarkson's dead money so they could protect themselves.
Right.
Almost saying, well, if it goes in October, we're good.
Right.
If you're his camp, you're probably like, these guys aren't going to do anything. They're going to sit there and they're going to pay me the money I want, right. You know. And I feel like that's where we're at, and it's disappointing for everybody. But
I still believe it'll
until
get
they
done.
Miss real games.
Yeah, I think it'll get done.
Bruce Arthur was down there from the start. We'll get his take on what the mood was like down there. We've got a couple of different topics that came out of the media today, and
man, you're not feeling well. There it
Mike
is.
Mike Babcock talking about game 7 minutes for Austin Matthews. He had an interesting comment on that. We'll let you hear it. We'll get into it. And Sports Illustrated unveiling their top 100 NBA players will tell you where some of the Raptors came in. So we'll get to that more with Bruce. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We've got one of our favorite games. I thought we would circle back on the old one or the other.
Wow.
Very well thought of, and I think there's a lot of dedication behind this game. So we'll get to that around 5 p.m. based on today kind of being the unofficial opening of training camp here in Toronto and throughout
the
league.
We could change one or the other to confirm or deny.
Or yes guy, no guy.
It's basically all the same thing. I'm trying to keep confirm or deny kind of in its own little bubble.
Confirm or deny is in once a week.
That is a fantastic segment.
When did we do that last week? Friday with Tucker, I guess.
I don't know. Yeah, it was Tucker.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I guess we can make this a confirm or deny.
Tomorrow.
No, I'll just do it on
do
the fly today.
No. What's it, one or the other?
It's one or the other.
I like
it's
one
confirm
or the other.
Deny.
No, we'll do a confirm or deny tomorrow. Why not?
I'm not here. It's not.
We'll do it. We'll make. I just need to reword like a couple of words, and it's a confirm or deny.
Yeah.
Confirm it's effectively,
or deny.
Yeah. Okay.
Personal day tomorrow.
A big personal day.
Yes.
Big, big moment.
Getting married on Saturday. Gotta do some stuff.
Prep. Gotta do some prep. You're golfing.
I swear on my life I'm not golfing.
Are you golfing on Saturday, though?
No.
Why not? That's like a tradition for a lot of people.
Yeah, not for me.
I golfed on my wedding day, and I was exhausted. I was so tired when I came back.
Did you have a nap before?
No, I did. I had to get ready for pictures and stuff. My face was a disaster.
I had a buddy who gets so gooned the night before his wedding. They brought him home in a shopping cart.
He woke up late
for the actual ceremony because it was like a 1 o'clock ceremony. Forgot, like, kind of half-ass shaved. Half of his, there was a streak here where he forgot, like, he didn't make
it. How many guys have done the old, let's play a casual 18 holes in the morning and then we'll get ready, and they absolutely get just destroyed? I guarantee you there's horror stories.
Oh, 100%. Email us. Yeah, let's hear it, because like someone's pulling the flask out, and then it's a celebratory
and then
shot.
It's the cart girl bringing over triple vodka sodas, right. And then you're sleeping in a lake.
It's not good.
Missing the ceremony, I can't even imagine.
There's been one bastard out there that has missed the whole thing.
Well, late, I can respect.
Talk to us.
Late's tough. Like, late is tough.
You can't even be 1 minute late.
No, it's your wedding. Yeah, everyone's there for you.
This guy had a tough time, put it that way.
I guess.
Still very happily married with a couple kids.
There you go. And you got a good story to look back on.
It's because of her. It's not because
she was cool enough to put up with him.
I know it's your bald buddy in Edmonton.
No, she knew she was marrying a jackass.
Right.
But he's a good husband.
Bruce Arthur from The Star. Back in his reporter days, he was down there. I'm sure he had his, probably the mic. Were you taking audio down there at day one of Maple Leaf Camp or what, Bruce?
I was. By the way, Jamie's saying she knew she was marrying a jackass, but he's a good husband. Were you guys talking about me before we went on the air? Is that what that was?
Basically all of us, Bruce.
Yeah, pretty much all of us.
All right, I'm sure you're writing a piece about today's activities. Day one of camp, physical. Is Mitch Marner included in your newest article or what?
Our friend Dave Feschuk gets the Mitch Marner thing today because, I mean, we've all written about Mitch. We have all kind of weighed all the different parts in this negotiation. It comes down to that the same thing, which is whether you can get Mitch Marner to accept that he isn't Auston Matthews, and if they can, then good for them. I'm writing about the coach today because when we ended last season, after game 7, there was more kind of attention paid to Mike Babcock's inflexibility, to his philosophy of the terror of the mistake, to just basically how he's coaching this team. And there's more questions about him than ever before. I'm fascinated to see this year with a team that is more tilted towards how Kyle Dubas views hockey, how Mike Babcock coaches the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Bruce, do you think, like, listening to Babs today, when he first got here, it seemed like for 2 years he was, I'm Mike Babcock, I win, I make the playoffs every year, I coach Canada, and you people in Toronto are just been dealing with losers. And whatever I say, you just have to say, oh, okay. And, like, do you think that's still the case? Because for 2 years it was like, I'll just say whatever I want and don't question me because I'm Mike Babcock. Do you think he might have some tougher questions that might need to be answered this year?
Yeah, I think it is getting, well, part of it is two things. Part of it is this team's gotten better. It's clearly gotten better. Even the 2 7-game losses to Boston, a very different series. And Kyle Dubas will tell you that, and Babs tell you that, players tell you that. They could have won last year. Game 6, those 20 minutes in game 6 when they go down 2-1. Like, that's where they lose the entire season. Mm-hmm. And they could have won that series. But so when you're better and you're in this division with Boston and Tampa, and when the margins in the NHL are so slender anyway, right? Like, we saw that in the playoffs. Like, it's you're flipping a coin. You're flipping a hockey puck, if you prefer that. And it's heads or tails some of the time. So that's part of Babs, I think, being under a tighter microscope because they're close. And the small differences, whether Auston Matthews plays 18:48 in Game 7 or 19:48 in Game 7, whether Zach Hyman takes defensive zone penalty kill faceoffs on a torn ACL against Patrice Bergeron or not, like, those little things you can start to point to and say, hey, Babs, why'd you do that? And so I think that's a part of it. And the other part is Babs doesn't change much. Like, when you asked him about last year and whether they made any mistakes in game 7, he said, no, you know, I thought we were prepared. And when you asked him at the end of the season whether he did anything wrong, he said, you always wish you could do things better, but he never names anything. He is very much a believer in the church of Mike Babcock, and he should be. It's part of why he's great. But Kyle Dubas has a vision for how he thinks hockey should be played. And that's why he made the trade for Tyson Barrie. That's who's a dragster defenseman, right? Like, who could have a 70-point season. That's on the table for this team. He wants this team to get the puck and move the puck and go, go, go. And Babs wants that too, but he looks at it very much in the way of don't make a mistake, don't make a mistake, don't make a mistake, defense, defense, defense. And there has been chafing between Dubas and Babcock, and there has been chafing between Babcock and Matthews. And the fact that Matthews and Babs came out of their meeting this summer saying everything's great is good. And the fact that Dubas is saying that, yeah, they don't always agree, but they've worked through some stuff this summer, that's good. Now we get to see how Mike puts it into practice. And at the end of the season, it's going to be close again, no matter who they play, no matter how it goes. If there are going to be very tight margins, and Babs could make the difference between one or the other.
With Bruce Arthur from the Star, you mentioned Matthews in Game 7 and his ice time. That came up again today, and here's what Mike Babcock had to say.
I think Austin played about 18 and a half minutes last year. Is that about right? And I think in the playoffs, every bit but Game 7, I think he played in the 20s or something like that. In Game 7, did you check his shift length? Did he play the same amount of shifts? You know, some of these things I'm not in control of. I'm just in control of how many times he gets out there. But what I'd say to you is we had good discussion.
So that's a deflection to 34. Go talk to him. That's him saying, I put you on the ice. You kept coming off.
You kept coming off at 38 seconds.
Why were you coming off in the biggest game of the year? Why were you trying to get to the bench? That's
exactly what that was today. Like, if you go up and look it up, Matthews plays the same number of shifts as John Tavares. John Tavares plays 2.5 minutes more. So, yeah, he's basically saying that was Austin's call. And he's right that Matthews played, I think, 20 minutes in 5 of those games. But there's always been a little bit of a disconnect between Mike and Austin, I think, where it comes to who Austin plays with. He wanted to play with Mitch at one point. I'm not sure he loved playing with Zach Hyman at times. Like, there's always been that disconnect, but there's also been some questions of ice time. He finished, I think, 71st in ice time 2 seasons ago among forwards, 64th last season. So he doesn't play a lot in the context of high-end forwards in the NHL. And then in the playoffs, he wasn't, you can't say he was completely underplayed, but yeah, so that's him throwing it back on Matthews. Actually, the interesting thing about that was when Kyle Dubas talked about that, he said him and Mike talked about all the different player deployment philosophies and all that stuff. And he also said, and this was interesting, he said, you know, part of it is you can't go and burn your players out because we're trying to play Boston in terms of depth. And, you know, as our conditioning gets better, then, you know, we'll be able to do that more, which is basically Dubas saying our guys don't have the staying power that guys like Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand have. And so there was a lot of interesting stuff today. I think they've gone over a lot over the summer. And now they start the build back up to get to the point where maybe they get to play Game 7 against Boston again.
With Bruce Arthur, Sports Illustrated unveiled their top 100 NBA players today. And this is an annual practice, and it always leads to debate, and a lot of times courtesy of the players who don't like where they're actually ranked. I found it interesting that Pascal Siakam is number 24 on that list, and DeMar DeRozan is number 31. Do you buy into that ranking?
I think DeRozan probably deserves to be a little lower because take a look. What teams attack him defensively in terms of he's a good offensive player who's not a great offensive player. And I think by the end of the season with Pascal Siakam, he could be higher than he is. And he's kind of on the edge of where the stars are. Like, the next guy up is Ben Simmons, who people in the Sixers organization think has future MVP potential. But the more you break down Pascal Siakam's year last year, with or without Kawhi Leonard, like whether he's on the floor or not, if you look at him in isolation, he's a really efficient isolation player. He produces tons of points per possession in isolation, along with, like, he's up there with star players. And same in the post, and same in pick and rolls. And Pascal Siakam, if you look at his numbers without Kawhi last year, they were outstanding. This guy is going to be a centerpiece player. Now, is he going to be a centerpiece player to the level of Kawhi? Not this season, and maybe not ever. Is he going to be a top 5 or 10 player, which is what you need to really move the needle in the NBA? Not sure he can get there, but I think he'll eventually knock on the door. But that, to me, is the interesting part of this list for the Raptors is, like, Kyle Lowry's ranked, what is he?
28.
Kyle could be on the trade block this year, like, because he's an expiring contract. They have $90 million coming off. He's not a young man. What can you get for Kyle Lowry would be a question. The fact that he's on this list, that Marc Gasol's on this list, that Serge Ibaka's on this list, those are the three guys you could move. Siakam's the future. And Siakam, I don't know if he's going to be better than Ben Simmons. And next up is a guy like Bradley Beal, who is a star. Chris Paul, who's a declining star. I think by the end of the season, Pascal Siakam will be a top 20 player in the NBA. And that's where the Raptors really start to build for the next thing.
Great stuff, Bruce. Always appreciate it, buddy. We'll do it again down the road.
Boys, it's always my pleasure.
There's Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star. I think DeRozan is kind of a victim of now we know who you are. Yeah. So we can't move you further up the list because this is who you are. Where Siakam benefits from, he could keep growing
still,
and he could get better.
There, yeah.
I'm not convinced.
Where is Simmons ahead of Siakam?
Yeah, he is. Simmons is 23. He's one spot ahead of Siakam.
Doesn't really shoot the ball.
He literally doesn't shoot threes. He can't shoot threes. Like he's got pace. He's got vision. But he can't shoot the three. You don't even guard him on the perimeter. It's
wild. I was on the beach in Mexico when a guy had a Ben Simmons jersey on my first vacation. The guy walked by me and I just kind of under my breath. I was like, learn how to shoot the ball. The guy looks at me and he goes, I'm not really Ben Simmons. I go, thanks, Tips. Like this guy was a grit grinder with a mullet, mustache. He's like, I'm not Ben Simmons. I'm like,
really?
Really? Thanks.
Why are you chirping?
I don't know. I couldn't stop myself.
You're chirping the jersey.
Yeah, you're chirping like a guy wearing that.
No business.
Jersey.
I shouldn't have done it, but I did it.
But what you wanted was a conversation from him. He would have turned around.
I wanted
and said,
nothing. It was just a comment, and he could move on.
You wanted him to turn around and say, I agree with you. Guy can't shoot the ball.
Boy, he can't. There's no argument there. Like, what's he going to say other than, I'm not actually Ben Simmons, so go take it up with him. But he can't fight you on it. He doesn't shoot. But Siakam, that is the future, like Bruce said. Like Lowry, Gasol, and Ibaka, the other three in the top 100. And this time next year, I don't think any of them are here. Maybe Kyle.
So they're done.
I would get away from it right now and just start the rebuild.
But that's what I'm saying. So they're done. That's it.
In terms of championship contention?
Well, championship contention, but I'm talking.
Yeah, they are.
This is still a very good team, are they not?
Yeah, they're not winning a title, but I think they can finish top three or four in the East. I do.
Yeah, so what's the sense? Just move on and like.
Because it's a sentimental value thing. Bring them back. Kawhi stiffed us. I understand that that's not a ruthless way of looking at it.
Sentimental value of your assets just cost you less of a draft pick later on when you move on.
Yeah.
So what's the sense? It's a garbage mentality.
Well, I don't think Masai's interested in bottoming out and tanking. They're not going to tank. If they have Siakam and Van Vliet, if Powell grows and he played pretty well during the playoff run, I think Masai has made it clear he wants to win. He knows he's not going to win a title every year.
But
he's not going to just mail it in. And we'll cross that bridge when we get to the trade deadline. True. We'll see where they are. If they're a 500 team, then those guys might go on the market.
Yeah.
Confirm or deny, a.k.a. one or the other, a.k.a. myth or fact. There's a lot of these kind of combinations coming together here. We'll get to that in about 20 minutes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. So big news in the NFL today. Sam Darnold is being quarantined because he is mono. So he's not playing on Monday night. I'm not sure he's going to play the next 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, it might be longer than that.
That's crazy.
It's a really difficult illness to get over.
I read a report. The coach drove to his house to tell him. Why would you go to his house?
Well, probably to...
What, to get mono too?
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that.
Wow.
It's a text. You got mono, bud. You're done until you're better.
Yeah, stay in your apartment. And
yeah, like you got to lock him down.
It's probably the most embarrassing illness for an adult. What? Right? Well, it's mono. People are going to be like, what are you, a loser? Like you're making out with girls
mono
in movies
wasn't
and stuff.
It,
you know?
Do you remember it raged through the NHL? A couple years ago, they thought it was out of Anaheim's dressing room.
No, that wasn't mono. That was something different.
Oh,
that
no. Like it was mono.
It was the mumps, I think.
Mumps.
You're right. Sorry.
The mumps.
You're right. It was mumps. Because remember, Sidney Crosby's like, yeah, I don't have it. And it's like face.
Showed up
like,
the next day. It was a disaster.
Yeah, he had a horn growing out of his head.
Apparently, that started in St. Louis. I think the Blues brought it out there. That's what I...
Well, who knows who brings what out there?
Well, I mean, Darnold's not playing. Le'Veon Bell, I don't think, is playing. I don't know what that line's going to be on Monday night, but it's going to be Cleveland by at least 7 or 8 points. Minimum 7 or 8 points by the time we get to kickoff on Monday night. So we all know you're going to take the Browns, I would assume, but...
You don't talk to me like that.
We'll see what happens.
He's
with his head.
Trevor Siemian's a pretty good quarterback. I like him. Yeah. Hour 2 up next. Overdrive continues on TSN 4.